Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. We're going to do communion here this morning. Welcome to those online. If you're joining us online, go grab your communion elements. We're going to do communion here in just a few moments. Hallelujah. There's such a sweet presence when you worship the Lord, and you don't want to get out of it because it's about Him. It's about worshiping Him, and it's about what He's done. And when you think about, thank you, Jesus, for the blood, that's exactly why we do communion, because He said, do this in remembrance of me. But it's not just a remembrance of what He's done. It's in remembrance of what He is doing right now. Because of what He did over 2,000 years ago, we're still walking in the promises because of what He did. Every day His mercies are new. The sacrifice of Jesus on the cross still speaks today. His blood still speaks today. Amen? Amen. And give me a second. You know, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to say for communion? Because communion, we're always doing it in remembrance of Him, remembrance of what He did, and it's a celebration. I say this every time I do communion. You know, I was raised in a church where it's very somber, but it shouldn't be somber, because when He died on the cross, He's not on the cross anymore. You're not doing it in remembrance of Him hanging on the cross. You're doing it in remembrance because He rose from the grave, and He made a way for you, and the veil was torn. And that's what I was last night. I was meditating, and He said, what, it says, do this in remembrance of me. What are you remembering? And He started just listing all these things to me. What happened? The veil was torn. Do you understand what the veil was? The veil was in the tabernacle, which was carried the Holy of Holies. No one could go in there except the priest. And even then, could be a little dicey if they weren't right with God, okay? Ask me about it sometimes, the bells they wore on the bottom. Thank God we don't have to worry about being struck dead. Amen? But it says, when He gave up His spirit, the veil was torn from top to bottom. Humanly, that's impossible. I can't go into all the history. We all know I'm a Greek geek, but I could tell you some other time. But humanly impossible for that to be torn from top to bottom. But God, the supernatural. Maybe you have something impossible. Oh, Holy Ghost, I feel it right now. Maybe there's something impossible in your life right now. It's not impossible to God. He made a way for the impossible and the supernatural to happen. So I don't care what the doctors have told you. I don't care what your spouse has told you. I don't care what other people have told you. You don't have to listen to that. You are who God says you are. And God says you are healed and you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That's who you are. So whatever impossibility is in your life today, I'm telling you, as you take communion and you remember what the Lord did for you, you say, nothing is impossible with my God. Nothing is impossible. Maybe you've come from a rough place and people have said, you're never going to make it. You said, really? Watch my God. Watch what happens as I trust Him. Maybe they told you you'll never walk again. Maybe they told you you'll never have children. Maybe they told you your marriage is done for. No, no, no. Because with my God, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. Amen. You don't, see, you have to remember to walk in the promises of who you are. You're not a sinner. You're not over here defeated. Because see, when Jesus went to that cross and He rose again, you became victorious when you accepted Him, because He's victorious and you are found in Him. That's who you are. So when the world says you are defeated, you say, no, I'm victorious because I'm found in Christ. And He's victorious, so I'm victorious. And I'm going to walk in that promise because I don't take it lightly, because He went to that cross for me. You can say that for yourself. He was beaten. He was bruised. He died for you. He went into the belly of the earth and He came back up for you. If you were the only person on the earth, He still would have done it. That's how special you are to Him. That's what He did for you. So as we do this in remembrance of Him, in Mark 15:38, it says, then the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When that veil was torn, you no longer have to go through a priest. You go to the Holy of Holies. You go in and you talk to God on your own. You don't have to wait for someone else to come along. It's you that can enter into His presence just like that. Amen? I don't know about you, but that's kind of exciting. I don't want to go talk to anybody else. I want to go right into the Holy of Holies. Amen? Matthew 10:19-20. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh. See, we go through the blood of Jesus. That's how we come into the Holy of Holies. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance, not just maybe or I hope so. If you've never been here before, I have a sense of humor, so it's okay to laugh, okay? A lot of people will say, well, I sure hope I'm going to make it to heaven. Don't be saying that nonsense. It says, he who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say maybe. It says shall be. It's a guarantee. It's done. So when you're saved, you go through the blood of Jesus. You come boldly to the throne room. I hope God hears my prayers. What are you saying? That he didn't do what he said? Because he did. And you come boldly to that throne room and you ask him and you talk to him. It says, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore, he is also to save the uttermost, those who come to him through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. When we remember what he's done, remember, we're remembering what he's still doing. He is still at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to shout. Whoo! He is making intercession for you. Jesus, the Savior of the world, is making intercession for you. Golly day, man, that gets me. Woo! I'm going to run if you don't. John 14:6 says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He made a way for you to come to the Father. You no longer have to just hope or bring a goat or whatever else you had to bring. Praise God, we don't have to do that. Once and for all, when Jesus shed his blood, that was the ultimate sacrifice, and he made a way for us to come to the Father. So as we take communion today, this is the things that we're remembering. You're like, well, Pastor Lacey, I know that. But you know what? Sometimes we take it lightly. And that's what the Bible says don't do as you take communion. Don't take it lightly. You are to truly remember what he has done for you. Because as you partake of communion, you're saying, Lord, I thank you that all your promises are yes and amen. I thank you that all your promises are true. I thank you that I walk in your blessing because of what you've done for me and what you're still doing for me. Because his blood still speaks today. Amen? It says, therefore, in John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, who here has the Son? Who here has Jesus? Then you're free. It says, therefore, who the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Don't be saying you're caught up in bondage, because the Bible says you've been set free. So bondage has no right to you. Sickness has no right to you. Anything holding you back has no right to you, because the Son has already made you free. In Psalms 103:2-5, this is one of my most favorite scriptures. I know you're not supposed to have a favorite, but I have a lot of them. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities. Well, Pastor Lisa, you don't know what I've done. Doesn't really matter. Because the Bible says he forgives all your iniquities. All. Doesn't say, well, unless you've done this, then he can't forgive you. No. He's forgiven all your iniquities. Who heals all your diseases. Well, you don't understand. The doctor said, I'm not going to live. Well, you don't understand, because it says he heals all. There is no disease that you can come up with today that Jesus wasn't talking about when the scripture was written. Because it was written before Jesus even came. It was written in Psalms. All diseases. It doesn't say except for incurable ones. When the doctor says it's incurable, I cannot heal that. No. Stop accepting that lie. I was healed from an incurable disease. I will share this testimony every time I have the opportunity. I was healed from lupus. My doctors are still, I don't understand. Finally, they just said it had to be God because I have no explanation for it. Praise God. It's an incurable disease. There is no cure. You listen to me. That's my testimony. But I know people, even Pastor Nick has a testimony of a lady cured from breast cancer. The lump completely gone. Gone. As soon as they laid hands on her, it was gone that night. She's looking for it. Sometimes I walk around like, where's the pain? Why am I looking for the pain? It's gone. He's healed all your diseases. All you have to do is receive it because it's already done. There's not a 10-step process to figure it out. Thank you, Lord, that you've healed all diseases, whatever it is. And don't even go that, you know, people think they can't cure, he can't cure incurable. What about the small things? Well, I just have arthritis. No, that's a disease. He can heal that too. Whatever it is you have, he came to heal it all. So it says, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction. How many of you are glad he redeemed your life from destruction? Hallelujah. Because we were all on our way to a place called hell. But when we received the Lord, he redeemed our life. He bought it back. And we're not going to a place called hell. We're on our way to heaven. Woo! Hallelujah! Only he can make that way. I don't care how good of a person you are. I don't care how much money you've given to the church and whatever else you want to give it to. That ain't getting you to heaven. There's only one way, and his name is Jesus. And when you received him, he redeemed your life, and he washed you clean. Woo! Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Not only did he save you from destruction, but then he crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Woo! Hallelujah! Come on! Don't accept what the world says. You've been crowned with loving kindness and tender mercies. If you walk around like a sour pickle, you need to be like, never mind, I've been crowned with loving kindness. I am loving. Yeah, I'm serious. That's who we are. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't walk in those lies of the enemy. We should be the happiest people alive. Woo! Ha! Well, and here's the next part. Who satisfies your mouth with good things. If you walk around negative all the time, you'd be like, foul spirit, get out of here, because that's not Jesus. Because Jesus gives me good things to speak. Amen? Yeah, none of y'all want to say amen. You're like, well, I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Okay? So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. When you speak good things, your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. That'll just make you walk around and say good things. Come on, ladies. I thought you'd shout for that one. Amen. Okay, men. Let's have the ushers come forward. In Matthew 26:26-28, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So if you're the first time you're here and you're like, well, can I take communion? Yeah, you can take communion. Communion is about what the Lord has done for you. If you've never received Jesus, and you don't, you're like, well, I don't know that these promises are for me because I don't have him living on the inside of my heart. It's a very simple prayer. And let's just bow our heads because I want to give everybody that opportunity. This is the prayer you say. You can just repeat after me if you've never prayed this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Thank you that you died for me and you made a way for me. Thank you that you set me free, that you died and you rose again for me. I receive your forgiveness and all your benefits. Right now, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm here to tell you, if you prayed that prayer, you just went from death to life, just like that. It was that easy. Amen. So every person can come forward and receive, even the children. We do not deny. Even Jesus said, don't deny the children. I'm going to tell you what, there's little kids in here that can pray for you that probably can pray for you stronger than an older person because there is no junior Holy Ghost. And they know the truth, and the truth is the same for them as it is for you. Amen? We teach the children here to pray. We teach the children who Jesus is. So they come forward for communion too. So if you want to go ahead and just line up in the middle, the usher, Mason here will line you up if you need help. Come forward, and Braden, come forward and receive the elements. We'll take them in a moment, so just hold on to them if you can. Resist the temptation to eat it as soon as you get back to your seat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's partake of the bread first. It says, "This is my body that was broken for you." When you partake of him and you partake of this bread, you're remembering what he has already done for you. It's already done. You're just remembering it and you're receiving. Thank you, Lord. So Lord, we thank you for your body that was broken for us. Oh, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you that you've healed all our diseases, forgiven all our sins, and that you have made a way for us, that your body was broken for us. We ask that you bless this right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So break it and partake right now. His blood was shed for you. Blood signifies life. He gave his life so that you could have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, we thank you for this blood that you poured out for us on heaven's mercy seat, that you were the ultimate sacrifice. And Lord, we receive your life. We remember all that you've done for us. And we pray that you bless this juice right now as we partake. We receive all that you have done for us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. If you have sickness in your body, as you partake of this communion, I want you to say, Lord, thank you that I am healed in the name of Jesus, that I don't have to ask for it. It's already mine, and that all sickness has to leave my body right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So let's partake of the juice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Amen. The ushers will come around and collect your cups. Phew. I thought I could just move right from communion to the offering, but that's a little difficult. You know, it's a time of celebration, but when you think about what the Lord did for us, that he sent his only son to die for us. If you're a parent and you think about that, man, what love the Father has for us, that he sent his only son to make a way for us. It makes me weep when I think about it, because we weren't worthy, but yet he did it anyway, because he loved us first. Hallelujah. Whew. Thank you, Lord. So I want to talk to you. I have the privilege of talking to you about the offering today. And, you know, if you really believe that everything that you have is the Lord's, the offering is really nothing. Because you want to give everything to God anyway, because nothing is really ours. You know, he gave his son Jesus for us. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave the best of the best sacrifice for us. And so what is really an offering? An offering is just because you say, Lord, I know that all I have is because of you. So I'm just giving back, you know, a tithe is a 10%. I'm giving back 10%. And then I'm going to give an offering above and beyond because, Lord, you are my provider. Not the world, not anything else, only you, God. And all this has come from you. Without you, I would have nothing anyway. So what's really an offering? It's just giving back to the Lord to say, I trust you, Lord. And I just want to give you a few scriptures here. In Genesis 28, 22. In Genesis 28, 22, this is Jacob. And he said, "And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." This was before the law. But he wanted to bless the Lord with a tenth of all that he had. But I also wanted to talk to you about in Malachi. And I know we always go to Malachi, but Malachi talks about tithes and offerings. That's what it does. In Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it." Hallelujah. It says, when you bring the tithe into the storehouse, you're in the storehouse. And And when you bring the tithe into the storehouse, watch and see if he will not open the windows of heaven. Let me tell you where else that phrase is, windows of heaven. Windows of heaven is also in Genesis 7:11. So they understood what the windows of heaven were. In Genesis 7:11, it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. If you don't know the story of Noah, you may not know that rain never came from the sky before Noah's time. The earth only watered itself from the ground up. That just makes you realize how people really thought Noah was crazy. How is this boat ever going to move off of dry land? Because they had never seen the windows of heaven open up and rain come from the sky. That wasn't something that had ever happened before. So when God tells you to do something impossible, just trust him, even when everybody else says you're crazy. Amen. Because the world will tell you that you're crazy. But the windows of heaven opening up, that in the Hebrew means, and I'm going to mess up this word, so don't get on me about my grammar. I'll spell it out for you. S-L-U-I-C-E. It means a dam that is holding up a lot of water. That's what that windows of heaven. So there's windows of heaven. There's blessings up there waiting to be poured down on you. As you obey and listen to the Lord, the windows of heaven will be opened up just like the rains came down for 40 days and 40 nights. But the great thing about tithing and offering is you have perpetual blessing that will keep lasting and lasting. Any of you that have a garden, as you put seed in the ground, you keep reaping a harvest and you reap a harvest and you reap a harvest. You keep planting seed though, right? You don't stop planting the seed. You may let it go to seed, and then it's kind of a willy-nilly harvest, right? But as you perpetually put seed in the ground, you perpetually have harvest, and you never run out. Oh, hallelujah. That's the kingdom of God. You know, I asked the Lord, how do you want me to share it? And the Lord keeps giving me this vision of a garden. And I keep seeing these little holes because it says, bring your tithes into the storehouse. That's talking about members of the church. If you're not a member of this church, your tithe does not go here. We are not here for your money. See, the Bible says it's not for us, but it's accounted unto you in heaven when you give. It's not accounted to you here. It's accounted into heaven because God sees your heart. But a tithe is to bring it into the storehouse that you're part of. And I keep seeing this garden, and there's divots for everybody's tithe, and there's going to be a harvest produced, and no one will lack. And let me just show you an example of that. In 2 Chronicles 3:31, it says in verse 4, moreover, he commanded the people who dwelt in Jerusalem to contribute support for the priests and the Levites, that they may devote themselves to the law of the Lord. This was their type of church back then. As soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits. That's an offering. First fruits is above your tithe. First fruits of grain and wine, oil and honey, and all the produce of the field. I can't get into all the teaching about currency and all of those things, but you understand that that was their livelihood back then. And all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. And the children of Israel and Judah, who dwelt in the cities of Judah, brought the tithe of oxen and sheep, all the tithe of holy things, which were consecrated to the Lord their God, they laid in heaps. That doesn't say a little pile. That says heaps. That's a large. Woo, hallelujah. I know it makes me want to run. Come on, Rick, run for me. In the third month, they began laying them in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. So they laid in heaps until the seventh month. Ooh, can you imagine? Have you ever drove by Stony Knolls and they have the corn pile? You know what I'm talking about? Okay. If you're not from a farming community, has everybody seen a corn pile that's outside of a grain? Right. Okay. All right, your storehouse is like the grain tanks, right? My dad has a corn pile. It's no fun to cover. You want everything to fit in the grain tanks. But I'm telling you, as people bring their tithes into the storehouse and bring their offering, there's going to be so much that there's not going to be enough storehouse to hold it, and there's going to be heaps out there. Woo! And we're not covering them. Because see, the heaps, you're not blessed to keep it for yourself. You're blessed to bless others. New Freedom isn't blessed to just keep it here. It's to go out and share it. Amen? That's why we do outreaches. That's why we go out and we give everything away. We don't charge anything. We give it all away. Amen? Amen. Y'all aren't getting it. Whew. Who gets excited to give things away? Amen. Amen. If you hold on to it, you got nothing to give. This is how the kingdom of God works. It doesn't work on the world's economy. See, you don't reap until you sow. And it says, as you give generously, you will reap generously. So if you're like, listen, I don't know about you, but I say, I want to pay for a lot of people's stuff. I'm saying stuff. I got to think of a better word. I want to pay people's houses off. I want to pay their bills, because that's what the kingdom of God does. We come together as a family. God is not a selfish God that he holds on. He had one begotten son. And what did he do? He gave him. He gave him. What is it that you have that the Lord is telling you to give? Loose it and give it. And watch how much more he'll bring back to you. Because then it's not tied up in your heart. Your heart isn't in the possession. We only have possessions here on earth. But what are they really? They're here today and gone tomorrow. Don't lay up treasure here. Lay up treasure in heaven, the Bible says. Because moth and rust will cut to it here, but not in heaven. Woo, you can lay up an eternal. Listen, when you give into a church that goes soul winning, those souls are accounted unto you. And souls are the currency of God. Because he said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You see? Woo, hallelujah. I got to get back. I know. I'm sorry, Pastor. In the third month, they began laying in heaps, and they finished in the seventh month. And when Hezekiah and the leaders came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Then Hezekiah questioned the priests and the Levites concerning these heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest from the house of Zadok, answered him and said, since the people began to bring the offerings into the house of the Lord, we have had enough to eat and have plenty left. For the Lord has blessed his people, and what is left is this great abundance. Everybody was already blessed, and there's still abundance there because we serve a God of overflow. So if you say, I don't have enough, then start sowing and watch what God will do, because he will bring the overflow. They brought it into the storehouse, then the overflow. Then there was more than enough. They didn't hold on to it and wait to see it built up. They brought it to the Lord and said, I know you can multiply it. Amen? Woo, hallelujah. Okay. Now, Hezekiah commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and they faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. Hallelujah. You know, I don't get sad to give. The Bible says he loves a cheerful giver. Don't give out of compulsion. Don't give out of because you have to. If you're like, well, I have to give because this lady says to give. No. You give because you say, Lord, I'm giving unto you, and I know that you will bless and multiply this. Lord, I'm believing to be debt free. Lord, I'm believing to pay someone else's mortgage off. Lord, I'm believing for whatever it is you're believing for, and you give to the Lord and watch what he will do. You can have a plan, but the best plan is to trust the Lord. Your plan will only go so far. Then you have to trust the Lord, and he will make up the difference. How many of you believe that today? That the Lord will make up the difference, that the Lord is your source, and he will bless you and multiply you. Amen? But remember, you're a blessing to bless others. God will take care of you. As you do his work, watch and see what he will do through you. Amen? So if the ushers could come forward. Oh, I forgot to tell you all this other stuff. I get excited. Whew, there's other ways to give. There you go. You can scan those QR codes. They're on the envelopes on the back of the chairs. You can mail your check-in, and you can text to give. You can also give on our website. Go ahead, ushers. You can serve the people. There's envelopes on the back of the chairs. Sorry if I didn't give you enough time. I apologize. In Philippians 4:17, it says, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. So as you give, that will be abounding to your account. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But what people forget is they have to give for him to bless all that you have. If you just want to come into agreement with me right now. Lord, I thank you that we've brought the tithes and the offerings into your storehouse. Lord, I thank you that you multiply this offering. Lord, I thank you for many souls coming into the kingdom. Lord, I thank you for the lives that will be touched. And Lord, I thank you that this will be to the account of those that have given. Lord, bless them. Bless the seed. 30, 60, and 100-fold return to the giver. And Lord, I thank you that you've given seed to the sower for them to sow. We just glorify you, and we thank you for your multiplication. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. God has wonderful things for us this morning. Pastor Lacey was preaching. I didn't know if I'd get opportunity to minister this morning. Amen. I love when my wife, I'll tell you, when you have a wife or a spouse that loves Jesus and encourages you, it makes life so much smoother. And my wife is a blessing to me, and I believe she's a blessing to you. And the only reason that works is because the Lord, and the Lord is a blesser. And I just want you to understand that light is bright. I want you to understand that, I guess you're preparing me for the glory of the Lord. yeah, praise God. I'm human. Amen. Welcome online. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We're going to have water baptisms today. But before we get there, I just want to encourage you. Everything God wants to do in and through you is for His blessing. Amen. And for His glory. Amen. So everything God does, every church service, every prayer time, every Bible reading, it's to bring His kingdom into your life to make your life better than what it was, to encourage you, to edify you. So this morning is going to be the same. The title of my message is A Living Hope. A living hope. And you can see, I'm going to show you and reveal to you through scriptures, that word living is describing many different things. But before I get there, I want to share something with you. Have you ever, when you were young, maybe you still do it and you're older, but the day before Christmas, there's an expectation of what you're going to receive the next day. You may not know what it is, but you have an expectation that there's a gift. There's something under that tree, and it gets you to the point where sometimes you can't even sleep the night before Christmas because you're so excited about what's going on. Or for you, you know, more wise people, maybe it's Friday at 5 o'clock when you know you're going to have a Saturday and a Sunday off, and you're like, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. And you have an expectation even before you get to Saturday because you know Saturday is going to be different because you do not have to get up and go to work that next morning. It does something on the inside of you. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Yeah. You can have an expectation. You can have a hope in something, and it can be so real to you, it changes you even before it happens. That's what I'm going to talk about today, because that's what the Lord will give you every day of your life because of an expectation of what heaven's going to be like. You can actually tangibly think on the things of God, and it will change your life daily, even before you get to heaven, because you're pondering and thinking about how good God is and what He's done for you. And it changes everything you do. Just like having Christmas Eve every day. The gift of Jesus becomes so real to you. Your day is not set by what you see. It's set by who you know. Amen. And that gives you a hope on the inside that you can live every day rooted and grounded in God, not swayed, not moved by what people say. You know, if I wake up in the morning, this is the day the Lord has made, and then I read my phone and there's some text that somebody's struggling. I don't let that struggle dictate the day that God has for me, because I'm expecting a wonderful and glorious day that God has ordained for me. And that's not just me, that's for you. You can get up every day and decide the day that you're going to have. Mark it down. You can say, this is the day. This day is going to be awesome. This service, I prayed, I declared before, wonderful service. People are going to be blessed today. They're going to be encouraged today. They're going to leave these doors today saying, you know what? I got something that I can apply to my life. And it's going to encourage me and bless me all the days of my life. Not just on Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday. If you go to a church and you don't leave there with a blessing that you can tangibly hold on to and say, you know what? I got something today that's changing my life and it's going to change my future. Maybe you get saved today and your heavenly future is ordained today. And you can live every day knowing you're going to heaven. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's healing. Maybe it's a mindset you have. Maybe you had an argument with your spouse on the way to church. And you leave church, change, and have forgiveness towards your spouse. Instead of conjuring up a story that you're going to get right back into the conversation you had on the way. Nobody's done that. I understand. We're in a holy place and everybody here is holy. None of us have sinned. None of us had thoughts of sinning. None of that. Because we're just great holy people of God that have no issues. That's a lie from the enemy. We all have issues. Amen. We all have mindsets. We all have feelings. We have emotions. We get offended. All these things happen. If you think you can go to a church and all of a sudden you're going to be perfected because you entered the door, I'm telling you, you're going to be sorely mistaken. Don't ever come to New Freedom thinking that we've got it all together. Well, man, praise God, you guys are, hey, maybe you think we do. Praise God, keep thinking that. Keep thinking that. That is a good hope and expectation to have, that the pastor, the leadership, the hospitality, everybody here is just perfect and divinely ordained by God. We all walk on water here. No, it does not work that way. We trip, we fall, we ask the Lord for forgiveness, we get up and we live life again. That's the reality. That's humanity. That's living a life here on this earth before we get to heaven. But it doesn't mean if we trip and fall, we stay. We get up, we put our boots back on, we put our belt back on, we get back into it and keep living life. We don't let life define us. We define life by the power of God. And that's what makes New Freedom so exciting and exhilarating, is because everyday people come and be touched by God and all of a sudden their life is transformed and they're like, I don't understand how this does. Neither do I. It's spiritual. God does something on the inside of your heart and gives you a different perspective on life, where you'll all of a sudden be seeing things because the light of Jesus is on the inside of you, instead of looking at everything like this. And the world is looking everywhere like this, and that's why they want their needs every moment. They want what they want right now, and they're not concerned about anybody else. The church is total opposite. The church is more concerned about what other people's needs are than their own. Amen. There's many times the leadership and the pastors lay things down to help somebody else. I do chaplain at the hospital. I may have a meeting, I get a phone call. Somebody needs you to come pray with them. You drop what you're doing and do what you need to do for God. You put others first. It's just the way it is. And thank God my wife is a pastor too, and she understands that. If we're eating dinner or something and something happens, I may need to leave dinner, and she does not get offended, because our love for God is greater than the physical love for each other. Amen. It's a spiritual love, and she understands the calling. Amen. So this is not what I'm trying to talk about today, but here we are. Amen. A living hope. If you see me, I love to minister just with my hands and just talk to you. And that's how I minister. Just talk. So when I walk back here is to get me back on track, okay? So just understand that. That's all I'm doing is going back to some notes. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But this is the week after Resurrection Sunday, and I want you to realize something, that the resurrection has given us a living hope. We're able to live full of hope. So what is hope? Hope is a confident expectation of good things. It's an assurance that things are good in our future. Hope is always future. Remember that. Hope is always future. Faith is now. What is taking place right now, hope is what's going to happen. So when you have faith in God, your hope is in God, things are good every day. You don't have to live a day not good, because your faith is in God and your hope is in God. So I am confidently expecting good things for you today. Amen. I came expecting. I always come expecting. I come expecting that I'm going to receive today. that I'm going to be blessed by God today because it's a living hope. That word living there in King James is lively. And I love that definition or that word better than living. Lively hope. And that word lively is zeo. Z-A-E in the Greek. Zoe is the life of God. Zeo is lively, meaning active hope. And when you look in Scripture, when it says living God, living stones, living water, living bread, it's all the same Greek word. Active. It's not just a stone. It's not just something there. It literally has life in it that activates it to live after its own kind. So when the life of God comes into a person, you become lively for God. You become lively, living, active. And that's the opposite of dead. Nobody wants to, I have a dead hope. Yeah, there is people that have dead hope. They do not have any expectation of anything good. I'll be quite honest with you. I believe our government has dead hope. There's people that live life that are constantly pessimistic and have no hope. They're not expecting anything good. They go to the doctor expecting a bad report. Are you kidding me? No. If I go to the doctor, I'm going to get a good report. And I listen to my wife like a good husband does. And I believe it's been like 20 years since I had a physical. The last physical I had was in college when I played lacrosse. So it's been like more than 20 years. Oh yeah, I did have to do a physical for my CDL. But besides that, I haven't had a physical in years. Years. And you know, you can go, well, you're getting older. You know, your cholesterol, your blood pressure. You know, you're going to have to get a colonoscopy soon. I'm like, oh, Jesus. You know, all these things you hear about you have to get done. Some of you young people don't know about that. You'll find out one day. Anyway, but you don't have to go expecting bad news. So I went, got everything was awesome, great. Cholesterol, blood pressure, wonderful. I'm thinking, praise God. Praise God. Even though I haven't ate the best way I should eat, I can do better. God still, I put my trust in Him. Where I mess up, I give it to God. And that's how gracious God is. That's the living hope that you can live every day of your life, knowing that God is on your side, He is rooting for you, and He is working all things out for good for you. Amen. That's the God we serve. God is not up there with a hammer getting ready to bop you in the head. People say, oh man, if I go to church, lightning's going to strike. It's not going to strike because the body of Christ is here. Amen. He's not going to strike you in the midst of the fellowship of His own body. All right. Now you're, when you're, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, people say that, you know, lightning's going to strike. Hell will freeze up. There's no way hell is going to freeze. Hell is hot. It is not freezing. All right. It's hot. You don't want to go there. Don't test it out. All right. So did you make it to 1 Peter? Hopefully you did. Amen. 1 Peter 1:3. I'm going to read this in a couple of translations. And New Living Translation says this: all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. I love that. You can live with great expectation once you are born again. Why? Because the life of God lives in you and your future is secure. See that? Great expectation. Great expectation is found in God. Amplified says this: blessed, grateful, praised, and adored be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant and boundless mercy has called us to be born again. That is, to be reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for His purpose, to an ever-living hope, confident assurance through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So the resurrection is what gives us a hope that we can live in. We can literally live with great expectation. Yes. A great expectation is a positive expectation. Yes. Amen. So whatever it is that you're going through, that can all change when you get a mindset and get the word on the inside of you to say, this is what God's plan is for my life. I know it may look like this, and it may look like this for generations in my family, but guess what? That curse is stopping right now, and I'm not going to live like that another day in my life. I am going to expect positive, because what people do, they take whatever is given to them and just say, well, that's my lot. That's the way my life's going to be. Cancer has gone through my family for generations. All the females in the family have had breast cancer, so I guess I'm going to have... No! Hell no! Stand your ground and say, you know what? I've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm a new man. I'm a new child of God. I have a great expectation. That is not going to be my lot in Jesus' name. Nothing against my family, but it stops today. Today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad. You can rejoice, church, when you have a great expectation. Amen. When you're thinking negative, you're not rejoicing. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, what you feel in your heart, from the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So what's on the inside is what you're going to speak. So if you're speaking negative, there's something down here that's out of order. And I say that in love. There's times where I say things like, man, where'd that come from? There's something rooted down in there that I need to deal with. For men that are angry at their wives and yell at their wives, I'm telling you, the man needs to get something right on the inside. You need to control your vessel. Amen. And men may not like me saying that. Women, you're right in the same ballpark. Amen. If you're yelling at your husband, getting mad all the time, angry at, there's a bitter root on the inside. Because the outside should not affect the inside. The inside affects the outside. So somebody can get really mad at you, cut you off on your way to church. And you can walk in love towards them. Because your expectation is in God, not in the person driving around you or how they can't drive. But that's every situation is like that. I know it's quiet in here. I know I'm stepping on people's toes. That's what I do. That's what God called me to do, is to step on your toes. Amen. To help you see the truth and know the truth so you can be set free from it. That's the power of God. To give you the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's what the Bible says. So I have to give you the truth. I have to give you an expectation. I have to give you something that you can take your faith, reach out and grab and say, you know what? God's got something better for me. I'm going to leave better than when I came. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Every single one of you is going to leave better than when you came. You may not know how to figure it out. You may not have all the answers. But all you need is to put your faith in Jesus Christ, and He'll work out the details. He'll work out the details every time. And you can sit there and say, I've tried. I've been around this mountain 15 times. I've been married 30 years, and we're still arguing about how the towels are folded or how the toilet paper roll unrolls. You laugh because it's a real thing. You argue about the dumbest stuff, and I've been there. Dumb. You take 10 minutes, you look back and like, why in the world are we arguing? What in the world started this whole thing? And you think, my golly, are we like 5 years old now? Yeah, we've all been there. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. I wasn't born yesterday, all right? I've been married 21 years. I'm figuring out what not to say. Amen? I'm still working on it. I have a wife that is forgiving. Praise God. Amen. And I'm forgiving too. But she's pretty perfect. Anyway, 1 Peter 1:3 in the New King James Version. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy, I love that, abundant mercy. God is not after you. He's not trying to take you out or your family out. If you had a relative that passed away at a young age, it wasn't God taking them away. It wasn't God needing them in heaven. God, we are the body of Christ. God needs us here. There's no sin in heaven. Everybody's saved in heaven. Everybody's healed in heaven. And they're all worshiping Jesus. He doesn't need people in heaven to help Him. He needs the church on earth to do His work. Amen? So God's not taking people, all right? He's merciful, has begotten us again to a living hope, or lively hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away. So there's a lively and active hope. If you look over a page, if you have your Bible, 1 Peter 2:4-5 says this, "Come to him as a living stone, a lively, an active stone, rejected indeed by men." This is talking about Jesus, "but chosen by God and precious." Verse 5 is us. "You also, as a living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So, you say, what does it mean to be a living stone? A living stone is a stone that's available to be used by God. That's what a living stone is. So God is building his house. He is building the kingdom of God. And he is looking for stones that are alive that he can use. And you say, well, I'm just coming as I am. That's how God wants you to come. He wants you to come just as you are. You don't have to, you can be an ugly stone. You can be an ugly stone, pitiful stone, covered in moss. You know, you can be just as nasty as can be, and God will clean you up. And he'll work on you. He'll get you just the way you need to be to fit right in where he needs you to fit. But he's not asking you to be perfect before you come. He's saying, come as you are. I will perfect you. Amen. And that's what's the goodness of God. That's the love of God, that you can come just as you are. Amen. I came just as a dairy farmer. Like, I literally would clean up after milking cows. If you've ever been around cows, you can take 3 showers and still smell like cows. They don't make soap good enough. You do the best you can, and you go as you are. So we'd go there. Everybody knew the Pattersons at church. All right, the ones that smell like cows. I went to McDonald's. I mean, I just took a shower, went to McDonald's. Stand, lady behind me, she's like, somebody been at the dairy farm. I'm like, that was me. I just took my shower, but apparently I still smell. Come as you are. You don't even need a shower. Come as you are. That's the church. That's the love of God. I welcome you. Even everyone that's here, thank you for coming. You don't have to be perfected. You don't have to cover up your tattoos. You don't have to do everything to be holy. What is holy? Holy is in the heart. It's not in the flesh, it's in the heart. It'll transcend into your body eventually. You'll start living holy. But you don't have to live holy to come to God. You're coming to the one that is holy. We need to be cleaned by him. Religion will make you clean yourself first. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is there's a bunch of rules and regulations that you have, hoops you got to jump through to be good enough to even come to church. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to be a good pastor today, and I'm not going to get into that. But I hate religion. I hate it with a passion. I hate when people make people do certain things, pay certain things, talk to certain people to try to get into good graces in the church. That is religion to its core. It's a bunch of legality. God is not a legal God. He is law-abiding, and it's his law, but it's not man-made. It's from heaven above. And that's what makes church wonderful, the true church. It's not legalistic. Amen. It's not. People look at this shirt and like, man, that's too bright for church. Who cares? I'm not judging you. Don't judge me. Amen. We can live as a family together. Zero judgment. Come as you are. You can wear a suit and tie. Just make sure you got clothes on. You know, that's the requirement here. Amen. It's okay to laugh in church. I'm telling you right now. You can smile. You can have joy at church. You can have peace. You can feel the love of God in the presence of God. Amen. That's the church. The word church is ecclesia, which is called out ones. So the church isn't these wonderful gold-plated walls from the spray foam company. Amen. It's not the salt-treated poles. It's not the concrete. That's not the church. The church is not the building. The church is you. Amen. As an individual called by God, called out of this world, you become the church, the body of Christ. So when people say, I'm going to church, it's really what you're saying is my flesh and my physical body is going to meet with other physical bodies. Okay? It's not the building. All right? So it's not the stained glass. It's not the pew with your grandmother's name on it. Okay? I told you. No, I'm not. I said I wasn't going to do it, and I'm not. Jesus. What do you do when your wife's telling you what to preach? Amen. Hallelujah. We have fun here. Amen. It's great. It's really, really phenomenal. So, everything with God is life-giving, is lively. Everything. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit in someone's life, it causes liveliness. It causes activity. So when the preaching of the gospel comes, faith causes you to move. Amen. It makes you active. People always say, well, why do you read your Bible so much? Why do you go to church? Why do you miss this and go to church? Because there's a living hope on the inside of me. And my source is God. And I have to do priority with Him. He's my primary. Seek first the kingdom. I have to do that first so I can help other people. If I constantly do for myself, I will kill myself. I literally drain myself dry. And that's what religion will do. It'll work you so hard, you'll never be refreshed, and you'll just get burnout. And people get burnout all the time. You can get burnout at your job. If you hate your job, and you hate your boss, and you hate everything about it, you will get burnout there. Because you won't have a positive expectation to even go, because you don't like it there. You don't like the people there, you don't like anything about it. You don't like to pay, and I can go on and on. But I'm telling you right now, I tell people all the time, because I've been in dead-end jobs. I've done jobs that I specifically hate with a passion, but I did them because that's where the Lord wanted me for a season. But I tell people all the time, pray and ask the Lord what He has for you, because He's either going to change the people around you, or He's going to remove you out of there and give you something better. But just be faithful. Do your work unto the Lord with a living hope while you're there, and watch what the Lord will do. Amen. The Lord will do something for you in that job. Amen. He may promote you and you become the boss there. Maybe even the Lord can move upon the ownership and you can buy the whole business. Who knows what the Lord has? Or He can just say, you know what? Your time here is done. Your season is done here. I got something better for you. Just be open to God. Just be open to God. Matthew 22:32 says this, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. God is a living God, and everything that He touches becomes living for Him. So the church, the body of Christ, every person that believes on Jesus Christ becomes a living soul for God. Living, active. Alive. The church, people look and they look out at the church and they form a belief about the church. And when they look out and it's like dead, they think their God's dead. God is not dead. He's surely alive. There was a song, I think there's a movie, God's Not Dead, right? 1, 2, 3. How many is there? I don't know. Amen. God's not dead. So New Freedom is not dead. These services are not, you're not going to fall asleep. If you fall asleep, I'm going to come and awaken your soul. Now, God is a living God. He's active. We do things. We do outreaches. We pray with people. We go on the streets. We talk to people. We work on people's houses. Amen. We're going into the schools. We go into the jail. I go do chaplain at the hospital, at Millington Firehouse, at Crumpton Firehouse. We're active. Why? There's a hope. Amen. There's a future for people. People are hurting. People are dying, not knowing the Lord. People are on their way to hell, and I can't sit back and say, I know people are going to hell, and I'm just, it's about me. They'll have to figure it out themselves. I'm just going to, as long as I'm blessed, as long as I got what I need, everybody else will just have to figure it out themselves. That is the most selfish spirit. I'm telling you, we got to be active. Yes. Excited about what God's done amazing things in my life. And I'm going to tell people about it. Amen. Amen. God even knew my desire of my heart even before I knew Him. I had a few desires in my life. One, to have a beautiful wife. One, to have healthy children. And to have a nice house. That sounds pretty selfish, but that's where I was. And the Lord honored all three of those. And I'm not going to call my family up here, but some of you have seen my nice house, healthy kids, beautiful wife. God honored my desire, and I wasn't even living for Him. He knew the desires of my heart before I even knew him. You have desires on the inside of you that God wants to bring to life and manifest in your life. But it's going to take a decision to say, you know what, Lord? I give you my life. I give you my all. And watch what the Lord will do. He will bring these things to pass. Hallelujah. The Lord is speaking to some people. Even when I'm saying this, you're thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I've never heard a message quite like this. This is a little far out there. It's not far at all. It's in your heart and in your mouth. That's how far away it is. It's right before you. That's what a living hope does. Living hope is an expectation on the inside of what you desire to see. What do you desire, church? What do you desire? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So it's a life alive to God. It's not a dead life. Something dead cannot bring something dead to life. Didn't take me long to figure that out. If your car is dead, you can't take another dead battery to start your car. It does nothing, right? For all you little mechanics out there. You can't take something dead and bring something else to life. What is living has to bring life to something that is dead to make it alive. So living hope, if you have dead hope, stop hanging around people that have dead hope. You will never get to a place of living. Come on. Yeah. Work with me here. Amen. You don't have to work with me. The anointing of God's going to work on you. Amen. If you're constantly hanging around people that are speaking negative, you will never, ever receive positive things. Because everybody, the blind lead the blind, they both fall in a ditch. All right? What you hear is what you get. What you sow is what you reap. And I'm telling you right now, a living hope, you got to get around people that are speaking faith, that are trusting God, that can pray with you and say, you know what? God's with you. God sees what you're going through, and he's going to turn it around for you. That's what you're going to get here. You're not going to get some dead prayer like, oh, whatever God's will is, we hope it comes to pass. No, it will come to pass in Jesus' name. What God is speaking to your heart, we can agree together and believe God and watch it come to pass. I've seen it. I've seen it with healing. My daughter was healed of a stroke at 14 months old. Totally healed. 20 years old. Stand up, Michaela. I know they won't see you online. But she doesn't want to stand up, but pointing her out. There she is right there. All right? Hey, 4.0 student at Liberty. Not tooting her horn. I'm tooting God's horn. God healed her, delivered her from that foul devil. Amen. Healed of celiacs as well. Incurable. Healed like that. Amen. Healed of lupus, my wife. God moves on people that can believe that he'll move for them. And hope says, God is going to do something for me. And it becomes alive in you where you don't accept anything less. You don't accept the negative report. You don't accept what the government says. I don't care how bad inflation goes. If my car needs gas, I'm going to have gas.
Right.
Amen. If they want everything to be electric, I'm still going to find gas for the car that I keep. Amen. My oven, I will have propane for my oven. Amen. I am not moved by the world system. I'm not moved by the government system. I'm moved by my government, the kingdom of heaven. My bank account is not moved by the stock market. My bank account comes from heaven. What I have need of, God will provide. Because the Bible says he will provide all of your needs according to his riches and glory. So if my focus is on God, every need I have is to promote God, he's going to supply it. That's how easy it is. You say, well, that sounds difficult. It's actually easier than laboring, worrying, and being in fear every night and taking 15 medications to sleep at night. Ask my wife. I take nothing. I can drink a cup of coffee and go to sleep in 5 minutes. When the bed is ready for me, I'm ready for the bed. Boom. Just like that. Out cold. Don't try to rob my house. All right. I do have a dog that barks that's awake. All right. But I sleep like a teddy bear. I sleep like a baby. Amen. Because I'm not worried about tomorrow. What does the Bible say? His mercies are new every day. So my living hope is when I wake up, God's mercy is available for me today. Praise God. I can go to bed at night. I can wake up in the morning at perfect peace. Why? God is in control of my life. It's not my will. It's His will. Amen? Amen. Grab a hold of that. Grab it in your spirit. Allow the Lord to touch your life today. Amen. He wants to bless you. Philippians 2:13 says, God is working in you both to do... Let me get it before I quote it wrong. Philippians 2:13. You get into scriptures enough, you quote, and then sometimes they start running together, and I don't want to misquote. Philippians 2:13. I'm believing you're getting something out of this today. I know we have water baptisms today, but you need to get this truth on the inside of you. It'll change your life. Literally, it'll change your life. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Let me say that again. For it is God who works in you. You have to allow God to work in you. You have to make a decision. I want what God has for me, and He'll do His will for His good pleasure. So if you think God's against you, you're not going to allow Him in. If you think the Father God is against you or He's judging you, you're not going to give Him any space in your life. That's what a lot of people, they live a life where they think God is against them. God created them. God loves you. Amen. He wants to have fellowship with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to help you. Amen. Even the church, people are against the church. Not every body of believers is the same. If you've been hurt in church, I'm telling you right now, you will not be hurt here. If you are hurt here, I'm going to hurt the one that hurt you. I'm telling you right now, we don't allow people to judge people. We don't allow people to be against people. We love people here at New Freedom. Just as you are, come as you are. And I welcome all the visitors. Come back again. Amen. What you see is what you get. I am about as simple as they come. You can ask anybody here. What you see is what you get. You come to my house, I'll be scooping up chicken poop. I'll be doing whatever it takes to get the job done. What you see is what you get. There's no what's the word I'm looking for? There's no false thing. Can't get it out. Jesus, help me. Amen. There's no false tenses. There's no words said on Sunday that aren't said throughout the week. I'm a man of my word. My wife is a woman of her word. The leadership here, we're people of our word. Amen. But we're people of God, and that's what makes it true. That's what makes it authentic. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with a few scriptures here. I have a lot more points that I haven't got to, but God knows what you have need of. God knows what you have need of. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's something I did want to share is, you know, a living hope is lively on the inside. And I said before that hope is future all the time. Hope is always in the future. And I just want to share with you, even before I knew God, even before I trusted God, there was something in me that had living hope, but it just wasn't in the right thing. And I want to share that with you because I want you to understand that no matter where you are with God, hope can shift. You know, God has placed things in us even before we knew it, that once we receive the Spirit and once we understand God, the light turns on, but we're already walking in it and we didn't even know it. And I'm sharing this because I want to encourage you that when I played lacrosse in high school, I was very competitive. And some of you have experienced my competitiveness in volleyball and every other thing that we play. But there was a hope of winning planted on the inside of me, no matter what. And I didn't play dirty. I didn't, you know, I wasn't negative about it. But there was something innate in me that I saw myself winning before the game even started. Like I had a hope. Like when we practice, it wasn't practice makes perfect. It was perfect practice. We practiced like it was a championship game. The defense, and I played goalie. We practiced. The offense that was against us was our enemy. And we played like they were going down. Like we didn't even know them. And we played like that because I had a hope of winning. I was encouraged, no matter what it looked like. When I was in college, and I'm not saying this, I'm giving you a testimony. I'm showing you in reality what it's like. When I played in college, our lacrosse team was horrible. Very bad. And we played this team that was very good. And you know, if you don't have any hope, it's hard to find hope when you know the team's excellent and you're horrible. But you can still grab a hold of it. And when I played like I was going to win. And if you know anything about lacrosse, especially goalie, we lost 25-0. I think the ball got down to their offensive side like three times past midline. I don't even know if we shot at their goalie. That's how bad it was. But that game, I had 40 saves, and they scored 25, which is phenomenal. And it's not tooting my own horn, but I had a hope of winning. I played like I was winning, even though we were losing bad, and we lost tremendously. But my focus was not on the scoreboard. My focus was giving my best in this situation. And that's what I want you to get out of this. You are made to thrive. You are made to overcome. You are made to win. Even if it looks like you're losing. That's why we need God. Because we can't win this. We cannot make it to heaven without God. We have to have a hope. A living hope right now to live our lives with our focus on God and not on what's around us. Because everything around us is crashing down. Everything around us is hopeless. And you can list it. We can list a mile long of everything that's going wrong. Doesn't matter Republican or Democrat. You look at it, things are going south. Right? Inflation. I'm not getting into it. The list is long. And it's getting longer by the day. The moral decay of people decreasing. Marriages, divorce, all these things. Everything's decreasing, and if we look at that, we become hopeless. God's not, what's God doing? He's not doing anything. I don't see what God's doing. And we take this mindset that we're hopeless. Things aren't going to turn around. No, I don't take that. I don't receive that. God is a living God. He's seated on the throne. He sent his son for me, and I'm alive. Amen. And you're alive too. Don't look at anything that you see in the natural to dictate who you are and what God's made you to be. Amen? Amen. I have so much more I'd love to share, but if everyone could just bow their heads and close their eyes. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, in Colossians. In Hebrews, it talks about God is the anchor. Hope is an anchor to our souls. And that's what I want you to receive even now. That there's an anchor available to your life, to your soul. That no matter what the storms look like, no matter the tragedies that you faced, no matter the financial struggles that you face or that you're in right now, there is a hope in God that is an anchor to your soul. It is an anchor to your soul. So it doesn't matter which way the tide's going. It doesn't matter which way the wind is blowing. When you are anchored, you are steadfast. You are sturdy. If you can start the music, that'd be great. You're steadfast, immovable. You may rock with the waves of life, go up and down here and there, but you're not drifting away. You're not being moved from what you're anchored in. That's what the Lord wants. And that's what the Lord has provided for each and every one of you. Pastor Lacey did an altar call this morning to pray the prayer. But if you're listening online or you're here today, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There's a place that God has for you that's anchored on the inside of you. That cannot be moved. And it's found in Jesus Christ. You may know the Lord and have fallen away. Haven't been in church for years. Given up on God. Maybe you've had a struggle. Maybe you lost a loved one. Something happened that rocked your world. That you did not expect. You did not see coming. But all of a sudden you realize you're in the center front line of a battle. That there was nothing you could do to keep it from coming. God is with you and God is for you right in the midst of it. You can rest your hope in Him and it can be an anchor to your soul. I'm believing right now the presence of God is speaking to people right where they are. Where faith is coming alive to grab a hold of this promise. You may have been fighting for years in situations, but God says, I'm here for you. I know what you've been through. I know what you're going through. I'm a living God that's going to bring life into your life. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to fight the battle for you, says the Lord. I'll fight your battle, the Lord says. Every head bow, every eye closed. If the Lord's speaking to you in that, I just want you to raise your hand. I don't need to know the situation. Just you're in a battle. You're in the fight of your life. Areas you've never been before. You don't have the answers. You don't know which way to turn. God does. He's going to give you the answers you have need of. He's going to come alongside of you and strengthen you. Give you discernment to make the decisions you need to make. Just wave every head bowed, every eye closed. Just lift your hand. One, two. I see hands going up everywhere. Yep. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. Yeah. It's real. That's life. Life is a struggle. Life is hard. But guess what? There's a remedy. There's a way of escape found in God. And I'm going to pray for each and every one of you. And those that aren't going through something right now, but been through something and seen the hand of the Lord, I want you to be in agreement for those that are struggling. Be in agreement. We're the body. When one hurts, all of us hurt. But we serve a God that heals the hurt. So the blind can see. So the deaf can hear. So every broken heart can be mended. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that lifted their hand, Lord. I thank you that you come upon them by the power of God. You make yourself so real to them. You settle their heart, Father God. You settle. You bring peace in the midst of the storm, Lord. The waves have crashed upon them, Father God, but you're settling and removing the storm right now in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your holy presence upon each and every one, Lord God. Father, thank you that this word this morning strengthens them on the inside, that they can set their anchor down and rest in the midst of every storm. Lord, I thank you that you're easing the wind. The wind is ceasing in Jesus' name. The clouds are clearing in Jesus' name. The flood is receding in Jesus' name. Peace. Be still and know that He is God. Father, I thank you for peace that passes all understanding. You don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to know all the answers. Just know the one that does and receive Him now. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for comforting your people. Touch each and every person. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 I know the Lord. He's a man of His word, and His word does not return void. He's doing a work in your life. Just be open to what He tells you to do. If you were one of the ones that lifted your hand, just be ready, because the Lord is going to speak to you and going to show you things you need to adjust, things you may need to let down, or other things you need to take up. I don't know. I don't have the answer for you, but He's going to speak to your heart and show you what you need to do. Amen. It may be to sacrifice something. Sacrifice time. Spend more time with Him. Spend more time in prayer or devotion. I don't know. I'm just throwing those out there. Amen. But God's going to speak to you. And if you're obedient to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you're telling me to do, you're going to have a great testimony. You're going to have a wonderful testimony. Living hope. Living hope lively on the inside. It's a great day, church. This is the day the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Amen. Amen. We have water baptisms today. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's correct. Thank you, online. All I see is a camera, so it doesn't feel real personal, but we love you, and I thank you for joining us online. God bless you. But everyone here, I'm going to ask for those that are going to be water baptized to come forward. Do you have anything? Okay. Those that desire to be water baptized, Sure. I'm just transitioning the water baptism, but you can just line up along here. But after the baptism, if you would like prayer personally, I'd love to pray with you. And the pastor's here as well. There's four here, as you can see. Everybody can count. But can someone go back and get the little ones from the back? An usher. Let them know that. Bring the little ones out. If the little ones are coming to parents that are up here, there may need to be some assistance with these little ones. So, Mikhail's, maybe some other people that can help with little ones. And if they come up here, it's fine. Water baptism is a powerful thing. And I encourage it. The Lord spoke to me at 3 o'clock Monday morning, woke me up out of bed. That's the only thing that wakes me up is the Lord, by the way. But water baptism is a powerful declaration to the natural realm. And what I mean by that is water baptism is immersion. It's going all the way under and coming up in water. And what it represents is dying to self. And when Jesus went down to the belly of the earth, he took every sin with him. And when he came up victorious. And this is what's taking place in all these young people's lives. Young people, you're a young man, Mr. Todd. That's right, young man. Young man. It's a representation, but it's also a command of God. And the Lord says, go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's a walk with the Lord to get water baptized. It's part of the discipleship process commanded by God. Water baptism does not get you saved. It does not get you into heaven. Okay? Accepting Jesus as your Lord gets you into heaven. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord, you desire to be water baptized. Or when you rededicate your life to the Lord, you may desire to be water baptized. But it's an outward sign of an inward change. Okay? And in Colossians 2, it talks about how Jesus died and was buried and rose again. So when you understand the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection, that's what's taking place in water baptism. And it's showing all of you that they mean business with God. Amen. And they are declaring their faith to everyone out here that Jesus is not only their Savior, but the Lord of their lives. Amen. So this is a wonderful time, amen, to see and to know each and every one of them to make this step of faith and declare Jesus as their Lord and Savior amongst men. Because that is the hardest thing for believers, a lot of believers, is to declare their faith before men. But Jesus said, you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. So they're pretty much telling the enemy to go take a hike. Amen. That's what they're doing. And I want you to encourage them. Amen. Because this is a big step of faith for each one of them. Big step of faith. Amen. But it's putting a black eye right on the enemy. Amen. It's putting a mark on them that the enemy does not like what they're doing. But guess what? We're the family of God and we support it 100% and all of heaven is behind them. Amen. So I'm going to give them a little opportunity to just share why they would like to. Now, none of them came to me about getting water baptized. I actually went to them based off of what the Lord told me. And every one of them are like, yes, Pastor. Yes, Pastor. So it was instant. So I want them to share, though.
Is this thing on?
Oh, it's on, buddy.
It was kind of hard to follow Pastor David. My journey with this church has started within the last couple months. My first time at the service was last Sunday. And Pastor David came and prayed with me. And the power of the Lord struck me. You know, I fell to the floor limp and felt evil spirits leaving me. And Jesus embodied in my heart and my soul. It was very powerful. I told him it was crazy, but you know what? It really isn't. It's not crazy. It's powerful.
Yes. Yeah.
And we've been talking a lot about faith and being patient in today's world. And oftentimes we're faced with decisions. And it's you have the decision to be patient or to react. And with patience and faith, you know, it's our duty to make those right decisions. And even in this past week, I felt God reaching out to me in just little day-to-day events. And I'm thinking, we're not going to react to this. You know, we're going to act with our faith. And it's just so powerful. And I thank you all for being here.
Amen. You can just stay up here.
How's it going, everybody? The past couple weeks, been crazy to describe. I've had a peace inside of me that I haven't felt in a very long time. It started a couple Sundays ago when I came up here. I didn't know what I was doing up here. I just, something told me to come up, and I came up. And when Pastor David touched me, I felt a weight come off my shoulders. I came up here with a lot of problems. And the last couple weeks have been amazing. I don't know what I'm doing. All I know is, He's leading the way for me, and I'm going to follow him so I could lead the way for my family.
Amen.
I'm already crying. Good Lord. Oh, we started coming to church probably last October, and then we kind of fell off. And in those times, they were really troubling, and we came back and found a sense of peace and happiness, and our marriage has been thriving, and our kids have been thriving. And I think this is just a step of going into, you know, I don't know what it's like, this life and guiding our kids and ourselves and being better and peaceful, happy.
Amen. Amen. You just stand on that side.
I'm going to yell. I don't want to.
You're going to? Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Good morning, everybody. The first thing I want to say is ditto to everything that everybody else has said here. I was instructed to keep this brief, so I wrote some things down. I brought them up here. Otherwise, I'd forget because I am an old man. I'm doing the reason I want a water baptism. Number one is because its foundations are rooted in Scripture. A water baptism is an outward sign of an inner change. That's what I hope I'm making. Why do I want to receive this water baptism? Well, I want to more fully experience the peace and love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ in my life. I'm taking this step in an attempt to strengthen and deepen that relationship with God, our Father. I truly believe that the reciprocal effect of this action is that I will become less selfish. that I will become more patient. I will have an increased desire to study the Word of God and experience His promises. And of course, I want to lead a life free from sin and a life in God. And I'm not going to read this, but I will posit Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. That pretty much sums it up for me why I want this water baptism. Thank you.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I just want to say that I think this man right here.
Thank God.
I thank God too, but I thank the pastor for what he's done for me, for my family. You know, I've watched my dad come from his deathbed to where he's at now. I just got news the other day that he's going back to work in May.
Amen. His dad was in a wheelchair.
My dad was in a wheelchair. He was far beyond that. He had blood infection in his legs. He had to learn how to walk all over again. I've been touched in ways that I can't really explain. Hmm. And I praise him and I thank him for everything that he has done. And I will continue to give my glory to him.
Amen. Amen. So you can see God is real. I don't spray people, make them cry. You know, men usually don't cry, but I had an encounter with God myself that changed that whole perspective of having an emotional side, having a real side, and allowing God to minister. And that's what's taking place in each and every one of these people here this morning, is there's a real God that wants to touch and live and dwell with you all the days of your life here on earth, but wants you to give an eternal hope and future to you as well. Amen. And before we go any farther, I want to offer this to you. If anyone desires to be water baptized right now, you can come forward right now. We're not where we have to check off 15 boxes and make sure you're legit or anything like that. But if you're feeling to rededicate your life to the Lord, or you've never been water baptized and you're feeling that pull right now, you can come forward right now if you'd like to. I offer that to anyone. Don't feel obligated, but I do want to offer that by the Spirit of God, that if you're feeling something on the inside, don't hesitate, because it's touching. This is our testimony, and this is just a start for each one of you. What you're feeling is just a start. It's just a taste of the Lord. It gets way better. You're going to say many times, this is crazy. This is crazy. I'm saying it even today. Man, this is crazy what the Lord is doing. This is crazy from having five people in my house, starting a church, moving our sofa, to having a building and doing what we're doing here. And the best is yet to come. God's just getting started. What you see today is the limiting factor. It's the lowest we're going to be. Amen? Truly. Truly. Amen? So what's going to happen here is, my wife is going to do photography, but if I can have some ushers move this first row of chairs, I didn't tell them to do this, but I'm going to now. We have a great usher group here. But everyone can, if you guys are ready to be baptized, cell phones, wallets, all the technical watches, anything that can't get wet. That watch good? Okay. I don't want to be the preacher that messes up people's $1,000 things here. All right. So if you need anything, but I'm going to have, you can stand. You can come up here. We're going to water baptize right here. If you need your towels, go get them. They're going to face that way. Sure. But what's going to happen is we're going to have them get in one at a time, obviously. And it's by the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're going to be immersed in God. And what takes place is just like what took place when they asked Jesus into their heart or rededicated their life, that's exactly what they're showing on the outward sign of what took place on the inside. So we're going to be in agreement that they are making this declaration and this step and they're going to go higher with God. And I want to thank those family members that are here, that these aren't the people that you knew a couple months ago. I'm telling you that right now. They're going to be different because God is doing a work in their lives. And I just want you to just watch what the Lord's going to do in their lives. But don't be shy, because what they have, it's going to rub off on you as well. So I'm just telling you, family members, get ready, because the power of God is on each one of these people. And they're going to do supernatural things for God. I don't know what the Lord has for them. They may travel around the world. I don't know. I know what the Lord did for me is made me travel everywhere. So just be prepared. So you guys can stand. You can come around here if you want to watch, whatever you want to do. Watch your phone, Rick. Okay. Matt just thought it was just on the head, but that's a sprinkle. Here at New Freedom, we don't sprinkle. We immerse, like the Bible says. So, Matt, you're going down, buddy.